I can tell you this. I so much wanted to bring the baby on stage with me and pray a scripture over her today. And God stopped me. And he said, you have to start with the mother. And so I want to tell you, Lisette, a couple of things before I pray a scripture over you. The first thing is you're here by God's plan. You're not here by accident. God planned this for you. The second thing I want to tell you is that our truth is often based upon our perception of things. But God's truth is based upon truth. It's based upon itself. When you begin to believe the truth of God, your children will believe the truth of God as well. And so that's what you're here for. You're here to go from your truth to God's truth. So I want you to learn this scripture. And I want you to say it every day. And I'm going to be testing you to see if you know this scripture. So don't be surprised when I come up and say, tell me the scripture. It's found in the book of Jeremiah, 29th chapter, the 11th verse. And this is God speaking. For I know the plans I have for you, Lisette, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. To give you a hope and future. And when you start believing that, your world's going to turn around. All right, we are talking about seasons of the soul, a time to search. And in particular, we're talking about praying tonight. And I want you to know very clearly that I can tell who God is. Is to you if I listen to your prayers. If I listen closely, I'll know exactly where you are in your relationship to God because you pray different at different phases or places in your relationship. When you don't have a relationship with God at all, you don't pray. And once you find God at the beginning, you're very apprehensive. You're very, I'll get comments like this, please don't ever ask me to pray. Well, you don't know what you did, but you just told me exactly where you are in your relationship with God. You're apprehensive. You're scared. You know that there's a God, but he's like a million miles away from you, and you don't know how to touch him. You don't know how to get to him because you're scared. And then you begin to hear about God, and you begin to learn things. But unfortunately, it's all in your head and you haven't moved it to your heart yet. So you start hearing phrases that different people will use, these religious phrases that, quite honestly, quite frankly, don't mean a thing to God. But you start repeating them because that's the lingo. And you start praying using that lingo, and I know you've moved on to the next step, but this is where you are. You're starting to learn about God, but you're not experiencing him yet. He's not in your heart. He hasn't moved to a place where you're close. and then you move up a little further and your prayers will indicate need. You'll begin to understand that life without God is extremely difficult and that you need a God in your life. And it keeps changing as you mature. That's why we call it a journey of faith. Because none of us start off with all the faith. We start off with a small measure of faith that God says he gave you. But then it's your responsibility to cultivate that faith, to increase that faith, to work that faith out. So as you're on your journey of faith, you get to that place where the Bible says that Jesus is closer than a brother. That he's with you, and you know that he helps you, and he knows that you know that he'll take care of you. And all of a sudden, you start developing some confidence in your prayer. You start to know that he's going to answer your prayer. You also know you might not like the answer. But you learn to accept the answer. And then you find out that when you find desperation again, because I hope you all know we go through cycles of desperation. One day you're on top of the world, the next minute something's happened and you're about as low as you can get. Things have gone south real fast. You take things for granted. All of a sudden, you have a new world to live in, one that you never imagined living in. And your prayers don't get longer, they get shorter. God, I need you today. God, I'm lost today. God, can you get me through this day? Can you get me through this situation? Can you get me through? I'm not doing so good by myself. You see, all the Christian lingo has left you. And now you're talking to your friend. It's like when I talked to Ronnie and Tim. They've been my friends for over 50 years. I don't call Ron up and say, Ron, who art in Ohio, freezing, because it's cold. It's good to talk to you, Mr. Ron. And Mr. Ron, if you have the time, think about how you pray. God wants you to find him through the prayer. And you're never going to find him through the prayer until you talk to him like a father. Sometimes you just pray, Dad, I need some help. Dad, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful day that I had. Praise God. How many thank God for a wonderful day? I had a wonderful day yesterday. thank you, God, for the wonderful day. Maybe your wonderful days aren't stacked together very well because you haven't thanked God for any of them. I want you to learn how to pray. God said, "My house is a house of prayer." So we're going to learn how to search God through prayer. Linda, we'll begin.
Did you not want to pray over her mother?
I did that, what
oh,
I wanted.
You weren't going to anoint her?
No.
Okay. All right. It's funny that Bishop said what he said, because I believe that sermons all have a golden thread, and I believe that they're all meant for a specific person. I want you to pay very close attention to what I'm going to read to you. In our time of desperation, we often at times cannot see the forest for the trees. What does that mean? Life becomes so overwhelming by our searching for things we want to hold on to when God is trying to get you to let go of it so he can turn this trial into a blessing. It says, in our time of desperation, we often at times cannot see the forest for the trees. What does that mean? Life becomes so overwhelming by our searching for things we want to hold on to while God is trying to get you to let it go so he can turn this trial into a blessing. I spoke to somebody the other day and I told them very clearly, and you're going to hear this a lot on Sunday, if you continue to allow yesterday to dictate today, you will have no tomorrow. So whatever has got you caught in the past that you bring it into the present, you better let it go, my friend, because it's going to rob you of your tomorrow. Better think about that. God is sick and tired of what he gives you and gives you a blessing and sets it in front of you, and you constantly holding on to yesterday. And when the right moment comes up, you throw yesterday and today. He don't want you to remember yesterday. Why do you keep bringing it up? Let it go. Because the only person that's hurting is you. It's robbing you of the blessing God set in front of you. Whoever that's for, just saying. There's an old cliche that goes like this. If you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it was yours. If it doesn't, it never was. Stop holding on to yesterday. Start searching for God in your prayers. Move forward, not in the rears. God's not a God of yesterday. He's a God of today. He's a God of tomorrow. I don't understand why people have to live in yesterday. Why do you live there? There's nothing for you there but misery and pain. And then you walk around trying to be Joe Cool and act like everything's okay while you bring in the luggage he's trying to take away from you. You think you're going to take that to heaven with you? I saw the funniest thing today, I kid you not. I saw a minivan, a Dodge minivan, that was a Hearst. I had to slow down to see if it had a trailer hitch on it. I kid you not. A Hearst in a minivan. Are you driving that minivan? And is it loaded with all your yesterdays? Because my friend, yesterday's robbing you of tomorrow. Search in prayer. You have to pray. If it's that convicting and that much hurt on you, I suggest you pray about it. Get rid of it. And when you lay it down, stop picking it up. It ain't the person's fault that you're punishing on a daily basis because you can't let go of yesterday. That's just a capsule for Sunday. Okay, golden nugget, that's right. I am completely baffled at the human mind and how it wants to cling to the people that God is constantly telling you to let go of because they're constantly toxic. Completely baffled. We make excuses to keep them in our lives instead of searching for God's answers and His peace in our life. We'd rather live a life in hell than to live a life of peace. What do I mean by that? You want yesterday, today, and forever. And my friend, if you want to live in yesterday, go ahead, I'm not. I won't. Seek God's will rather than your own will when God allows things to happen in your life, stop fighting it. Pray. Pray. Prayer is the key to everything. You have to pray. If you don't have a communication with God and you don't have the ability to pray, can I tell you what you say? One word, Jesus. If you can't say anything, say Jesus. That's all you got to say. Because you know what? He already knows your heart. He already knows your mind. He already knows your every need. All you got to say is Jesus. When there's nothing else to say, just say Jesus. One word. One word is all it takes. One word. Remember, not every person you acquire a relationship is a permanent fixture in your life. Some people are seasonal, and some are there for a reason. Be sure you distinguish who's seasonal and who's reasonable, because you will throw away the reason before you throw away the season. Trust me. Either way, you need to stop doing it your way and let God have His way. Stop forcing doors to open that God has clearly shut. In this time of searching, God is saying to you, walk away, know all the joy that comes your way in the morning rather than to stay in yesterday. A child was asked one time, what is the meaning of searching for God? And the child said,
I think the simple, short answer is seeking God means going after Him because we know deep down that somehow, somewhere, He is real and we want to know Him. It means trusting that He is real, trusting that He's special and important, powerful and mysterious, knowing He has our best interest at heart. What that does is gives you renewed desire. When you begin to accept God for who He is, it will rekindle fires that have long gone out. And I was in the weirdest place today. I found myself in the bait shop. The bait shop where they sell worms and fishes. And this guy follows me into the bait shop. He wasn't going to the bait shop, but he followed me into the bait shop and said, Pastor. And I hadn't seen this guy for, I don't know how many years, maybe 8. And now he's married and he asked me, are you still the pastor at the church? I said, yeah, come back, come see us. I haven't seen you in a long time. Him and his mom used to come here when he was young. And now he's married and grown up. I certainly forgot what I was talking about.
Going into the bait shop.
Before that.
We were talking about knowing knowing Jesus, the scripture, the piece that you read there.
Desire. Okay. So what I'm getting at is this happens to almost all of us, right? Your fire, Satan causes a no burn. and your fire kind of goes out, but you haven't forgot who God is. He didn't forget who I was. I could not recognize him. I promise you that. He saw the look in my eye and identified himself, praise God, because I didn't know who it was. But his fire had gone out. And I remember when mine went out and I didn't go to church for 10 years. Yeah. And it happens to most of us at some time in our life that all of a sudden we're not where God wants us. And we're not growing at the rate he wants us to grow because we've walked away. But yet somehow we know that he's real and we know that he's there. We just got too far away. And it was really good to see this guy today. It really was a blessing to my heart to see him. And maybe he'll come back. Who knows? One day I believe he will. And if he doesn't come back here, I'll bet one day he comes back to God.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, do you remember Pete? His mother was Carol. Some of the old timers remember Pete. It's been about 8 years. Mm-hmm. But Pete's doing great, married, running his own business, doing a couple different things. And it was so good to see him. And it was such a blessing. But, you know, I when I see somebody like that, I don't, you know, think bad of them because I think back there go I. That's where I was. I walked away too for 10 years. But he still knew God, and he still remembered God, and he still remembered the church, and he still remembered those were seeds that we planted. God's already planted some seeds in you.
Right.
And you just go through a period of stagnation. But
the water drought.
When we start to think about who God is and what he wants for us, our desire returns. Praise God.
After hearing the answer, one would have to agree, this is why it's easier for a child to get into heaven than an adult. But looking at this, the one thing you have to understand is the difference between we know and we believe. Bishop's taught us that to believe something, your belief can be changed. To know something, you know that you know that you know, and there is no changing it. So know God, not believe in God. Know God. We are taught that having faith is to believe. Again, if you rely on belief alone, you can be persuaded. If your belief is not strong enough. So I ask God for the revelation to be given to me on the child's answer. And God said this to me.
To know is a locked door called wisdom and guarded by understanding. On the inside, knowledge is protected by not allowing doubt to enter in. When we begin to allow doubt into our hearts, it has a tendency to grow. And doubt has to be fought. And you fight doubt through prayer. You know, how many times has Satan put a thought in your head and you need to reply, I don't believe that, God. I don't believe that at all. I think that's a lie. I know better. You know, when God tells you that he doesn't care about you, or when Satan tells you that God doesn't care about you, and you have to fight that doubt. And you have to fight that doubt with your mouth. You can't fight it with your head. You got to fight it with your mouth. And you have to say, God, I know that you care about me. I know that you care about me. I don't know why I'm in this position. I don't know why I'm in this situation. I don't know why I'm dealing with this. But I know you care about me. These are things that get you out of the situation. By not giving up on God.
And every word is a prayer.
And every word that you speak is a prayer. We've been taught that if we fold our hands or if we get upon our knees, all of a sudden God's hearing increases.
It's not true.
God can hear your prayer, whether your eyes are open or closed, whether you're on your knees or standing up, or whether you preface it with "Dear Lord," or you just say it. The Bible says every word you speak is recorded. Every word you speak, God's listening to. It's a prayer to God. You're arguing, you're swearing, you're carrying on, you're fighting, you're whatever it is, you're gossiping. It's all prayers to God. And most of these prayers aren't worth very much and will be later used against you in a court of law.
The actually, if you look at it like you were just saying about all the prayers, if the swear prayers, or if the good prayers are prayers to God, then the swear prayers are open doors to Satan. So you might as well say you're praying to him, because God ain't listening to your nonsense. He ain't listening to you acting a fool, but Satan is, because it's an open door, and now he knows how to get to you.
Always remember that hearing and listening are two different things.
Absolutely. So we're going to break this down.
Wisdom is the solid closed door between us and doubt. Understanding is what moves between wisdom and knowledge. For without understanding, wisdom and knowledge fails. And knowledge is your trust in the truth of the Word of God. It is unbreakable, unchangeable, and unmovable, rock solid truth in the God you know and love.
And that's the threefold cord. That's what you've been preaching on this whole time.
Yes.
That's the golden cord that strings every message together. And this message has been written for months. I mean, months. Okay. However, instead of searching for God's divine direction and answers, we want to reason things out and do it our way and never seek the truth from God. Much less seek understanding and answers to our prayers. When you pray something, do you just, God help me say this without offending people, do you just say your prayer and walk away like there's nothing to it? Or do you really think about what you're praying for? Because I can tell you, every prayer I pray, I think about what I'm praying. Because it can either be an open door to Satan, or it can be an open door to your blessing.
Parents like to teach their children a prayer. You may have heard this prayer before. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I shall die before I wake, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's what it is. Because you're taught to say that prayer, and then you pray it repetitiously without thinking. And God wants to know what's on your heart, not what's on your mind. What you feel, not what you've learned. See? And, you know, I have a huge problem with teaching kids to say thank you. I don't want to teach kids to say thank you, because you teach them to say thank you, but it has no meaning. I want you to teach the kids to be thankful. And if they're thankful, they will express it. You don't have to tell a kid to express thankfulness, but you have to tell a kid to say thank you. And they say thank you, and they have no meaning to them other than they did what their mother wanted them to do, their father wanted them to do, or what they were expected by you to do. When I'd rather teach a child to be thankful and to be happy for what he just received or what he has. And then we grow up as adults, and we don't understand thankfulness.
Here's another nugget for you, going on exactly what he said. Scripture tells us that out of the abundance of our mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of our heart, what's really in our heart, our mouth will say. But can I tell you that your actions solidify what's in your heart? Think about that. Your actions make solid what's really in your heart.
One of my don't know which one, whether it was a niece or a nephew, said something today. I wasn't there, but Marjorie told me about it. And what he was doing, or she was doing, was expressing thankfulness in a way that was real to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just brought a smile to our face, because that's what you want. You want them to be thankful. And so they expressed it in a different way, but what they were saying was, I am so thankful for what has just happened. And that is priceless to God.
Mm-hmm.
How you take care of what you have is an expression of thankfulness.
Nothing else really needs to be said. That's exactly right. How you take care of what you have.
How we take care of this church is an expression on how grateful we are that God gave it to us. How we take care of each other is a huge expression on how thankful we are that God put those people in our life.
Yep. What can you do to search for God? God is waiting for you. See, he wants a relationship with you, not just the head knowledge. He wants your heart knowledge. Unfortunately, there's no exact formula or way to find God or any other perfect method other than full surrender. But to point you in the right direction, we're going to talk about some principles, which we'll probably only get to the first one, which is prayer. There's five of them, and there's five actually in prayer. So the first one is actually prayer.
Turning your prayer monologue into a dialogue isn't as hard as you might think, but it does require a slower pace, especially in the beginning. But God not only wants to hear from you, he longs to talk to you too. Listening is as important or more important than praying. Not all prayers need to be just you rambling on. Sometimes you pause to feel the presence of God. And it's so hard to do with your phone blowing up.
Social media.
With the TV on. If I could teach adults anything today, I'd teach them how to put their phone away for a couple hours. I went into the restaurant last night and had to walk back out to get my phone. And as I'm walking back in with my phone, I'm thinking, why in the world didn't I just leave it in the car? Why did I have to go get it?
Because why?
Because one of them might need to call me, that's why. It is so true that we are now living in a time of more distractions than any other time I can think of. TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat,
Instagram.
So many, so many things. YouTube, on and on and on it goes. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those things, unless you forget to carve out time with God. That's when it's in quiet time. It's in early morning hours. It's in late night hours. It's in time when you're not dealing with all that other stuff. Because once all that other stuff gets going in the day, you're cooked. You're done. You're overwhelmed by all of it. And I really feel, as older people don't have it as bad as the young people have it. The young people don't know how to act without all that stuff. How sad has it always been to go into dinner and watch a family of six or eight and everyone on their phone? And if they have lost quality family time, you can be assured they've lost quality time with God.
Quality time with God goes first.
Supposed to go first.
No. I mean, it goes first.
It leaves first.
Yes,
the first thing
first.
That gets cut out.
Yeah, because they're too busy to... And this nonsense of, I got my phone out because I got the Bible app. That's the Bible right there. You don't need no phone. We provide you with scriptures.
Write them down.
Either you're coming to get something or you're coming to be a distraction. Just saying. Close this out.
Lord, we're thankful for tonight. We're thankful for the message and the word. And Lord, we're grateful for all that you have for us. And we will show our thankfulness by the way we treat each other and by the way we treat you, by the way we talk to you, God, and by the way that we love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.